Hi, I'm Ken.
And I'm Dee.
And this is Antiques Freaks.
Good podcast.
Yes.
And that's the end.
The end. This week, I have prepared an extra special holiday gift for Dee.
For me?
For you.
Oh, I hear them ding, bing, bingling, ding, ding, dingling. Copyright.
Today, we will be talking about Funko Pop.
Whoa, oh, my favorite! Fuck! What would put me in a state of holiday cheer quite like... it's great. And at the end of the episode, I'm going to find one because everyone has one. And I'm going to skewer myself with it. Through the eyes, I think.
It's a perfect square.
Are its little hands spaced widely enough apart to blind me, like Oedipus?
No, that's going to come up later, but its hands are not proportioned to the point where it can reach out beyond its own head.
God damn it.
So sorry.
Sight was God's mistake. Because now I'm picturing a fucking fun... I know you have one in here. Everyone has one. All I see is Clopin.
Not a Funko Pop.
No, they didn't make one of him.
Which yet.
Seems kind of like harsh, actually.
Oh, maybe I should write them.
No! Ugh, all right, well, let's begin this wretched adventure.
Well, first off, I need to point out that the exclamation point is mandatory on Pop. Just like Panic at the Disco.
Oh, okay, so I have to scream every time?
I'd prefer if you didn't because I do have neighbors.
Oh, okay.
But just keep it in your heart.
Like stage scream, like Funko Pop.
Dirty Pop.
It's gotta be like that. Funko Pop. Yeah, I feel like that's also a way to pronounce an exclamation point.
So what is a Funko Pop?
The worst thing. Dead-eyed. Dead-eyed. Snub-limbed.
You said the same thing about Kewpies, I will remind you.
No, QBs turned out were really cool. Like, they ruled, turns out.
Maybe Funko Pops will also.
No, I so doubt that. I refuse to believe that you're going to have to do a monumental amount of work to change my mind on that.
So a Funko Pop is a vinyl figurine about 3¾ inches tall. It has a big rectangular head, an extremely tiny vestigial body, and the head has large, round, blank button eyes with plenty of space between. They are 100% pupil, usually black. They have a tiny nose, a minimal to non-existent mouth, usually non-existent. And this base is then decorated to match the appearance of a character from pop culture.
Hence the Pop.
Throw black hair, glasses, and a lightning bolt scar on it, instant Harry Potter. Cover it in a black cowl with two pointy ears on top, instant Batman. Put a gray beard over its non-existent mouth, a pointy gray hat on its head, and a stick in its hand, instant Gandalf.
Or Dumbledore.
Or Dumbledore. You have probably seen these in Barnes & Noble, Hot Topic, Newbury Comics, big box stores like Target and Walmart, Toys R Us, rest in peace, Comic-Con, and other big nerd gatherings.
Literally right behind you, probably.
By the end of this recording, Dee will find the single Funko Pop hidden in my room.
Oh, no, I think I just found one. I think technically that Harry Potter blind box is a Funko Pop.
Nope.
It's not. Is that is that a Q-Posket?
I don't know what the fuck it is.
Sorry, I collect toys. I'm gonna find it. I know it's in here.
How did this happen?
Well, the thing is that we... All right, so some think that it might have gone back to, like, the Great Schism.
When we abandoned God?
Well, that's the thing is, like, well, we did wander from God's light and do live in the shadow of the Valley of Death.
Yes.
And so I think that's where it started.
Probably. An alternative explanation is found on Funko's website.
Oh, yeah, they didn't say, like, lo, and there I saw a black horse, and death was upon it. The Funkos came about when we destroyed the sixth seal. We ripped that motherfucker off, and the angels, they just screamed.
So, you remember our Christie's history episode?
Christie, yeah.
Do you remember how Christie's decided to display its history?
Yeah, in a fucking...
A 55-slide slideshow?
Yeah, like a nightmare, like an endless nightmare.
Guess how Funko displays their history?
Oh, Jesus, does it... Okay, does it... How many slides?
Like six.
Oh, well, okay, at least... I guess at that point you can have a slideshow.
Can you have a slideshow that auto-plays with no pause button?
Fuck that. No, seriously? I'm gonna go feral.
So anyway, I dumped Funko's website right in the garbage and looked literally everywhere else to find their history.
Thank God.
So here is a quick history of Funko Pop.
Okay.
We go back to the distant year of 1998.
Oh my God, so long ago.
When t-shirt designer Mike Becker wants to buy a Big Boy figurine.
Alright, well, I guess he's gonna have to go to, like, Kotobukiya or something.
Big Boy is a burger chain.
Oh!
Their mascot is a cartoon 1950s burger server, also named Big Boy.
Okay, yeah, I'm familiar with Big Boy.
Vintage Big Boy figurines are expensive.
True.
Becker does some quick math and realizes he can reproduce his own big boy figurine for way cheaper.
That's morally and legally questionable.
So he starts his own toy company.
Now, that's an insatiable need for big boy figures.
Uh-huh. See, a collector after our own heart.
What the fuck? No, I wouldn't start, like, I was like, oh, I really want a Starscream, but he's in pink. I should probably buy Takara.
I mean, yeah.
You're right, I should just probably buy Takara.
His mom told him no one else would want to buy his toys.
I wish she'd been right.
She was tragically mistaken. Funko is born.
No!
They make figurines based on vintage food mascots, mostly bobbleheads.
How do they get away with that? Do they buy the rights?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Becker eventually gets sick of losing money and cold calls New Line Cinema to see if they have any property licenses just lying around.
Sure.
Turns out they do, because they're about to release a new Austin Powers movie.
Oh my god, I always knew it would go here. I always knew that we would have to talk about this movie on air.
A $2,500 deal to make 100,000 Austin Powers bobbleheads makes Funko a real boy.
$2,500?
To get the license.
That's all it cost?
Yes.
For the Austin Powers license?
Yes, for bobbleheads.
I could have bought the Austin Powers license for $2,500?
If you had a toy company that made bobbleheads.
I don't think I needed a toy company. I think I could have wandered in off the street and been like, give me the intellectual rights to Austin Powers.
No, they want you to have the ability to do something with them.
Yeah. No, I'd sell magnets or something.
In the wake of the success, other license holders start approaching Funko to make bobbleheads.
We're just really going to use the word success to describe anything now, huh?
Uh-huh. Including Major League Baseball.
Well, I guess that's more saleable.
Which Becker turns down.
What? I mean, America's pastime?
He prefers to make toys of fictional entities over real people because, quote, I know Betty Boop isn't going to get a DUI.
And Mike Myers is going to what? Well, age gracefully?
Austin Powers is a fiction boy.
Austin Powers is basically just Mike Myers.
Mike Myers isn't actually British. I regret to inform you.
I know that, but like you look at him and you're just like, that's Mike Myers, but with a bad accent.
Dee, that's how acting works. I don't know how to break this to you.
I hope every actor who ever has been hears you say that and is mortally wounded. I think that you and Mike Myers are all the same. That's acting.
Becker also turns down Disney.
What? Oh, because what if Disney gets a DUI? Disney's done all the evil shit it can.
Zero explanation given.
Well, because he's a bitch.
Well, then.
He doesn't know business. He's bad at business. He's like, oh, this single most lucrative entity? Absolutely not. Like, I don't know why I gave him that voice.
Speaking of being bad at business, in 2005, Becker gets sick of running a company and sells Funko to his golf partner, Brian Mariotti.
Wow, we're just really committed to this one, huh? I hate rich people.
In 2009, Funko gets the license to produce plush toys of DC Comics characters.
Which I assume Becker would have been like, DC, no, next. I only specifically make vintage burger mascots.
The toy design is too anime for plush.
That's okay.
So they switch to vinyl.
Oh boy.
In 2010, Funko debuts a new toy line at San Diego Comic-Con. They call it Funko Force 2.0.
Oh, that's gonna catch.
It's a bunch of DC characters, including Green Lantern and Batman.
Oh, everyone's favorite, Green Lantern.
I can't remember if this is before or after that movie did so well.
It was before.
Oh, man.
Which is even better because, like, no one had thought about Green Lantern until they made that movie and then they thought poorly of him.
Everyone liked him in Justice League.
Yeah, because Justice League was great. But, like, they didn't make that one.
No. Anyway, these characters have big eyes and big square heads.
Sounds familiar.
The fan response is extremely tepid.
Well, at Comic-Con, yeah, I imagine there's, like, a lot more better things to be looking at.
Because the heads don't bobble.
That was it, huh?
Uh-huh. However, while old Funko fans don't like the new figures are attracting demographics that don't typically approach the Funko booth.
Oh, anyone?
Such as women.
Women.
You've heard of them, I see.
Yeah, girls, I've heard of them.
Smelling an untapped market, Funko takes the toys back to the lab for some tweaks and emerges with Funko Pop.
To make them more appealing to women?
Yes.
Okay.
I cannot stress enough how extremely minor these tweaks are.
Big eyes, square heads, it seems like they didn't change an awful lot.
The POP stands for pop culture. Do you get it?
Natch.
It's subtle, yet extremely clever.
Is it either of those things?
Yes. In 2011, Funko debuts Funko Pop at New York Toy Fair.
New York Toy Fair? Really? They took it all the way there?
Yep. Pre-POP, 90% of Funko customers were male. Post-pop, 51% of Funko customers are female.
Okay.
So pops have broken through the consumer gender divide and money floods Funko's coffers accordingly.
Why though?
Well, if you make a product that half the population buys, and then you make that product appeal to the other half of the population, you've just doubled your customer base.
But what did you do to make them appeal? By making them ugly?
They're so cute though.
They're really not.
They're so cute.
They're like emphatically not.
They're so cute. Disney contract get.
Disney came back.
Yep.
Wow.
Because they're that adorable. And in that year, 118 pops are released.
That's a lot.
Oh, you're gonna love these numbers. In 2012, Funko has $20 million in sales.
Oh boy.
163 pops are released, including Star Wars, Game of Thrones, Muppet, and Ugly Doll. Which is interesting because that is a toy based on a movie based on a toy.
And not at any point of functional franchise, as I recall. So, an odd choice.
Listen, these things happen.
Also, Muppet next to Game of Thrones is a bold move.
In 2013, 465 pops were released.
What? That's a...
In 2014, 648 pops were released.
Why is it escalating like
this? In 2015, 997 pops are released.
I think the World Health Organization would classify this as a pandemic now.
Funko and Marvel in that same year team up for Marvel Collector Corps, a subscription box of Marvel collectibles.
That's disgusting. I'm sorry.
One box every 2 months, 6 boxes per year.
Why?
Other subscription boxes follow, including Smuggler's Bounty for Star Wars fans, Legion of Collectors for DC Comics fans, Disney Treasures, Guess Who, and Loot Crate gets some exclusive pops.
Are you saying that they started this whole wretched trend?
Also in 2015, Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Oh boy.
Hasbro makes zero Rey toys because girl toys don't sell.
Despite being the main character.
See also Avatar The Last Airbender. Funko, however, with a 51% female customer base, makes several different Rey pops. So they rake in money hand over fist while other toy manufacturers are still getting their heads out of their butts.
Did they ever really though?
No. Meanwhile, in 2016, Funko has $400 million in revenue, which is a 50% increase over 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And 1,173 pops are released.
No, that's too many.
In 2017, 1,549 pops are released.
Oh my god, this is worse than the Black Plague.
On August 19th, the flagship store opens in Everett, Washington.
They have a flagship store?
They do, and every morning people stand outside chanting open.
Why?
For Funko Pop.
Learn a skill.
Dirty Pop.
I don't say this often to collectors because I am one, but like...
You are a toy collector.
Yeah, go do something else.
Do you collect toys?
Yeah, like you own, some of the time.
You own every Transforming Boy.
I don't own every Transforming Boy, just most of the ones that are present on The Lost Light. Shut up.
Do they make Transformers Funko?
They don't, because they don't translate even remotely, like not even a little.
I'm going to have to shoot them an email.
Anyway, I wish you wouldn't.
November 2nd, 2017, Funko is listed on NASDAQ.
Oh, trading in Funko.
F-N-K-O. Get it?
No. Explain it, please.
Because it's Funko, but minus one vowel. They took out the U because...
No, I got it. No, that was sarcasm.
Superfluous,
yeah.
Because when you try to pronounce F-N-K-O as a single word, it still sounds like Funko.
I learned my
lesson.
So
it's still, like, very representative
of
the
brand. No, I understand.
I get... Despite being shorter.
I understand.
By one letter.
No, I got it now. It's fine. I won't do that again. Critical punishment for sarcasm.
Funko, aka FNKO, sees the, and I quote, worst initial public offering of the 21st century.
Well, at least there's some justice, League.
With only $125 million raised.
Oh, what are they gonna do?
Crying to their piles of money.
Sometimes things are so hard.
Shares fall by 40%. But eventually stabilize.
Oh, well, that's good. I'm glad.
2018. 1,938 pops are released.
I'm gonna fucking lose it. This isn't how business works. They're fucking their own economy.
Are they, though?
Well,
because people are still buying them.
In terms of principle, like...
Funko Pop sales make up 82% of Funko's total sales. Because Funko does make other products.
Yeah, but, like, this is what tanked Beanie Babies.
Oh, we'll get into that. Funko also starts producing Funko cereal.
Yeah, I want a vinyl company to make food.
Based on horror franchises, including Stephen King's It and Nightmare on Elm Street.
Some people will just do whatever.
The cereal turns the milk blood red.
It doesn't, but like...
There's a mini pop in each box.
Yeah, that's why I didn't buy it.
2018 also sees the end of box subscriptions.
For pop, specifically? Because yes. It sure didn't in general.
However, the boxes themselves are still available through retailers. Just not on a subscription plan. You can still purchase a box of random collectibles. It just can't be delivered to your house on a monthly basis.
Yeah, no, they sold them at GameStop.
Amazon has Marvel Collector Core and Smuggler's Bounty for Star Wars. And Disney Treasures is available at your local Hot Topic.
Is it really?
Yes.
Why is Hot Topic Disney's new, like, place?
Oh, we'll find out. In 2019, Microsoft approaches Funko to make a Gears of War mobile game.
Naturally.
Animation team, assemble!
No thanks. We're gonna take a pass.
Amongst the questions they must answer, can Funko Pops bleed?
Spoiler,
they can't.
No, because they're vinyl.
According to lead designer Tyler Bielman, as quoted in Fast Company, instead of cutting through the Funko, it vibrates and the head pops off.
What?
So in the Gears of War mobile game using Funko designs, whenever you attack somebody, the Funko vibrates and its head pops off.
Oh, okay.
Instead of, you know, chainsaws through clavicles and what have you.
Yeah. Wow.
That is the least of the animators' problems.
That sucks for them.
Bigger issues include, number one, disproportionately large heads make it impossible for two pop models to hold hands. Is there a lot of hand-holding in Gears of War?
There sure isn't.
I don't video game.
I played Gears of War, and I gotta say, it wasn't really like Hand-Holding Simulator 2018.
Problem the second, the giant head blocks the camera.
That, I was thinking was gonna be number one, and not the fact that they couldn't hold hands.
They are working through the issue. In related news, there's a Funko Pop movie in development.
That sounds... Okay, well, there's never been an original IP Funko Pop.
There has.
There has.
They have several lines of their own original characters. You haven't heard of them because no one cares, but they do exist.
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to sell a movie if I can't, like, summon up even the image of one.
Unless the movie is the perfect publicity for these characters and suddenly they're popular.
No, I don't...
What if the film endears you to them? The magic of story and song.
Well, at that point, I'm going to commit seppuku.
What if they...
Sorry, you can finish. I just want to make it clear that I would kill myself. Yeah.
I'd rather you didn't.
Well, like, for you, sure.
Okay, thank you.
It sounds like they want to be, like, it sounds like they want to be Lego wicked bad.
Uh-huh.
But, like, they're not Lego.
Or are they?
They wicked aren't.
But what if they were?
They're not.
Have you considered, perhaps, just maybe,
they're not modular.
A dark horse riding up with Disney on its back?
And like
Funko, the next Lego.
And like, an inherently unfun method of existence.
Well, I mean, they're not toys, they're collectibles. Funko's been very clear about that from the beginning.
Yeah, well, Lego works because it's a toy.
Also in 2019, by August 19th, there are 8,366 total Funko Pops, according to Vox.com.
It's fucking disgusting.
And on August 25th, Nasdaq.com reports Funko has made $768 million in sales over the last 12 months.
I wish that all 8,000 of those Funkos were my grave.
So far this year, there have been 2,080 Pops released. 1,100 licenses held and counting.
That's a lot of licenses.
Now, I know what you're thinking.
I wish that this wasn't the world I lived in.
How do Funko Pops get made?
It was an injection process.
The end.
Well, okay, how did they get made? Sorry.
Thank God for GeekWire.com, without whom I would not survive the winter, because they posted an article that was just step-by-step how Funko Pops get made.
Okay, it's fun.
Step one, get an idea.
Oh, they already failed. Oh, sorry. Sorry, Funko, back to the drawing board.
You say this to me on the day I bring you this glorious gift.
Step one failed. All right, sorry, Funko. Let's try again.
All 20 pages of notes were for you, D.
Okay, all right, what's the next step? I mean, we are just assuming they already messed up.
Funko makes a point of hiring a bunch of passionate nerds and listening to their suggestions.
Wow, those nerds did a bad job.
If Worker Nerd wants Pop to exist, there's a good chance it'll get made. According to Ben Butcher, the VP of Creative, people who have been here for as little as 2 weeks can have an idea and get it going. We take the time to listen to the passion of our people. Even if leadership hasn't heard about it, we'll take the time to look into it. And CEO Mariotti, as quoted on Entrepreneur.com, says, I think that really is key, empowering your staff and making sure that you're hiring people that live and breathe this stuff. We call it drinking the Funko Kool-Aid.
Oh, cute.
One, it's Flavor Aid. Two, apparently they don't have any self-awareness.
Living and breathing. I don't really want my workers breathing in any of that.
Live and breathe.
Oh, they're gonna get the vinyl lung. Fantastic.
Funkothelioma?
Oh, very good. Very good.
It's really not. I already feel ashamed of myself. But yes, this process is where most of the more obscure pops come from.
I can't think of a single obscure pop.
I guarantee you can, but we'll get to it. For non-obscure pops, it's usually because Disney or whoever has something new coming out. Some things are too obscure to produce. VP of Creative Ben Butcher really wants a Hudson Hawk pop, but alas, he is so alone.
I guess that is pretty obscure.
Yeah, it's a Bruce Willis film from 1991?
Yeah.
You are the only other person aside from Ben Butcher who has ever heard of it.
Well, like, I grew up, like, military family. Like, I've seen every Bruce Willis film. Like, every single one. But I here's the thing. Like, yeah, Hudson Hawk is, like, pretty, like, niche.
Step two, market research. AKA, does anybody else want this?
None. From the beginning, it turns out.
In the case of Hudson Hawk, no. Others, however, get to ideation and conception. Step three. Sorry, conceptualization.
This sounds like a cult.
This is where they put a pre-existing character onto the Funko template. Which is genius, because they don't have to invent a character and they already know exactly what it's going to look like. So it is,
with the exception of some of the absolute worst Funkos, which are the ones that don't fit on the template.
Yes, but it's still very funny.
Because I'm thinking of, again, right now, Google Finding Dory Funko Pop.
You know, that was actually cited in two different articles as a major misstep.
Yeah, because it's scary. Because it's like terrifying. Because I looked at it and remembered that I'm going to die someday. And then it occurred to me that it might be because of that Funko Pop.
They also ask the all-important question, does it pass the sandbox test?
What's the sandbox test?
Would the figure be instantly recognizable if pulled from the sand in 10 years?
No! Dumb!
Step four, stupid, you licensing. Already...
Wait, is there a single step that they've managed to clear? I'm sorry, quick break. How many, like unidentifiable, like cop, like a mimic, like white generic fantasy hero Funko Pop, like you pull one of those in the sand, I'm like, sword guy.
So for the Friends Funko Pops, which did suffer from this problem, they solved it in Joey's case by giving him a toy duck. Apparently that's a reference on Friends.
That's not gonna help. That's a reference. You have to already be familiar with it to recognize it. That's not the same as recognition.
Isn't that the, well, D, you don't recognize things you don't know.
Yeah.
That's not how recognition works.
Yeah, crazy, right? Like,
well, yes, but you just said...
Does that mean it's gonna fail the sandbox test?
D, you just said only people who know about it will recognize it.
Yeah, that's not how the sandbox test works.
That's how recognition works.
No, but, like, if you pull it out, like, all right,
D, I don't recognize people I've never met. I only recognize people I have in some way crossed paths with before. I don't mean to be peak myself right now, but that is the dictionary definition of recognition.
That's fine, and I respect that, but I'm thinking, like, if I pull out, like, a Fraggle, someone might not be able to say, oh, that's Fraggle Rock, but they'll say, like, oh, is that a Muppet? Because it's, like, because it's a recognizable cultural icon, pop culture icon. Like, people would look at a Fraggle and be like, I don't know what Muppet that is, but they'll say the word Muppet with their mouth. And, like, that's recognizability.
So it does work, because people might not recognize the character, but they'll look at the big square head and big eyes and say, that's a Funko Pop.
No one's gonna do that with a guy who just happens to have a duck. It's not gonna happen. They're gonna be like, oh, the duck means it's Friends. Like, I know that one.
People who have seen
just
more
a guy.
Than, people who have seen more than one episode of Friends presumably know that Joey has a duck.
Or, like, someone, you look at certain character designs and you're like, oh, I don't know that, but, like, it reminds me of, like, the cartoon block I watched in the 90s. And that's an element of recognizability that, like, a guy holding a duck doesn't have. Like, it's a, oh, it stopped being a guy because he's got a duck. No, it's just a guy. They're all just guys. They're just, like, dudes. And, like, they all have the same armor, even the fantasy. Like, no one's going to look at any of the Game of Thrones if he's not blue or Tyrion, because that man is incredibly handsome. Like, no one's going to know. No one's going to know. Like, oh, how many blonde women Funko Pops are you going to be like, oh, that's Galadriel. No, because she didn't put anything on her. She's blonde.
Step four, licensing. Find out who has the rights and show them the concept art.
And back up, because they will vomit on you.
This can be difficult for the more obscure properties.
Yeah, because they're all dead.
Yes.
Oh my god, like, do they do Rankin-Bass properties? Like, no one's still there.
We can email them. Step 5, concept approval and detailed sculpt. License get. Sculpt figurine in ZBrush. This usually takes a day to a day and a half.
Yeah, because this is like a template.
Step 6, initial prototype. ZBrush file goes overseas to become a real boy. Step 7, figure approval. Digital photos of prototype. Step 8, prototype approval. Actual physical unpainted figure gets approved. Step 9, manufacturing. Overseas production begins, cranking out pop. Big licenses like Dinsy get runs of thumb. Whoa. Wow, that wasn't even words.
No, please leave that.
That was not even
for time. You said Dinsy.
Listen.
Didney.
We have roughly 50 pages of notes to get through.
We went to Didney.
Fuck you. I regret starting this podcast.
I
want
to go to Didney. Didney World. It was the magical journey that was watching you realize you'd said that. And then, like, I'm guessing that you started stumbling when you realized you said Dinsy.
You're a dick.
You're gonna cut this anyway. I can cyberbully you all I want. So no one's gonna hear it.
I can cut it from the episode, but I can't cut it from my heart.
Cut my episode to pieces. I got cyberbullied.
Oh my god. Obscure properties, con exclusives, and chase figurines get hundreds of figures. Whereas big licenses like Disney get runs of thousands.
You can sell anything with a con exclusive, though.
Oh, yes you can. Step 10, packaging and paint design. While figurines are, quote, in mold, art team at Funko has about 30 to 45 days to create packaging and design the final paint job.
30 to 40? Do they need that? No, I don't want to be rude, because, like, every worker has a very important place and their labor is valued, but, like, they really need that much time?
Yeah.
Huh. Sculpt's team gets a day. This seems a little unbalanced.
It's almost like the overseas labor is cheaper by the hour.
Ouch.
Step 11, packaging and paint approval. Approval of the above. Step 12, final pre-production box. Last minute double check. Step 13, final assembly and shipping. Finished pops take a boat ride to headquarters in Washington, America.
I'm picturing a shipping container falling off the crane and just Funko Pops spilling out.
Can guarantee that's happened at least once. Step 14, warehousing and distribution. To Hot Topic, to Loot Crate, to Toy Vault, and beyond.
Why Hot Topic?
Step 15, and I quote, you buy a figure and enjoy it.
I don't enjoy that. It's not enjoyable.
Teal Deer, Funko can take a pop from potential to kinetic in 70 days.
So that does explain how their
turnaround?
Their, like, high valuation. Like, that's a stunningly fast amount of time.
Because they don't have to invent the characters and they all go on the same template. It's genius!
It's a great business move. I can't argue that.
Each new pop costs about $5,000 to $7,500 to develop.
It's not a lot, really, at the end of the day.
No, it's really not. Rapid turnaround is vital when it comes to cashing in on pop culture trends because you don't know how long anything's going to last.
Yeah, there we go.
They are, and I quote, designed by fans for fans.
Wait. All right, look, I don't want to be like pushing up my glasses like, well, actually, how do they pass the sandbox test if your next concern is I have to get this out in 70 days or less or no one's going to remember that this movie happened? That's inherently failing the sandbox test.
But the question remains.
Yeah, their ethos is weird. Is that the question?
That's not a question.
Anyway,
sorry. That's your thesis statement for your 5-paragraph essay.
Yeah, okay. So what's the question?
Why collect Funko Pop?
That is a good question.
The end.
Do you have suggestions? Why? you're trying to sell me on this.
One, they're cute.
No.
Creative director Sean Wilkinson admits they're engineered that way. As quoted by Vox, there's literally a certain height of eyes, a certain width apart, and the head being 2/3 the size of the body. It's a set ratio. Putting the nose just below the line of the eyes results in a more endearing expression. Like baby animals with big eyes that are kind of far apart.
Yeah, the thing is that they're not making an expression at all, so...
So you can project wherever the fuck you want onto it. Holistic people love that.
No, I don't, actually. And I... Look here, I'm in that camp. Like, I don't like it.
I have it on good authority.
I have like a million... Whatever. It doesn't matter.
The end.
Keep going. No, tell me more about why.
Number 2. Fandom, but make it casual.
That's not... Listen, I don't... I've seen the pictures online, and if they were going for casual, they failed in a spectacular way.
80% of Funko collectors only buy one or two.
Thank God.
But there are so many people buying one or two that it makes up a huge chunk of toy money.
Fair enough.
Let's say you like a thing without letting it consume you.
Can't relate.
Pop's friendly and cutesy design renders them non-threatening to the casual collector. CEO Mariotti, as quoted in Fast Company, people that had never thought of buying a highly realistic Daenerys Game of Thrones action figure with 14 points of articulation will buy a Pop.
Well, all right, the problem with that, Mariotti, is that they didn't make one. They don't ever make those, and they're a weird sex thing when they do. So, like, it's not that, like, they don't want to, it's that, like, it's either, like, intensely uncomfortable by design, or it doesn't exist. There's no 14 or... No.
Okay, but...
Mariotti doesn't, like, get toys.
But $200 for a Hot Toys 1/6 scale Loki versus $10 for a Loki Pop.
Yeah, but the Hot Toys is a better product.
For someone who is that much more invested. But there are fewer Loki fans that invested in the character than there are fans who are $10 invested in the character.
Okay, all right, thank you. My main problem is just that he picked Daenerys, which is like a really weird grab.
But one of these things is a much easier sell than the other.
Yeah, yeah.
It is the perfect price point for an impulse buy.
True.
Don't know what to get your weird Thor-obsessed cousin for Christmas? Grab a Pop. Guaranteed win.
Yeah, and it'll pop you in the mouth. Yeah, you're looking at me like, oh, I'm trying really hard not to laugh because that was funny. Let it happen.
I'm looking at you like you're hurting my feelings.
What? Because you're the weird Thor cousin?
Yes. I knew it. You already knew that about me.
I know you're the weird Thor cousin. And I know the Russo brothers hurt you very badly.
They did. They always do. Point the third. Exclusivity and obscurity.
Yeah, come again?
You can get a Harry Potter toy or an Avengers toy or a Batman toy basically anywhere in any style.
True.
But where can you get a toy of Blanche from Golden Girls?
That is a terrifying question.
Or Jupiter of the beloved space opera Jupiter Ascending.
That was the one time I almost bought a Funko Pop.
Or Black Phillip from the critically acclaimed horror flick, The Vavitch.
Well, you can actually get a lot of that on Etsy.
Yes, but you can also get Funko Pop.
The Black Phillip Funko Pop is really cute.
See?
It's the one cute one. It's the one cute one.
But that's the thing. Everyone has
one cute one. You're right.
Every single person has one Funko Pop that appeals to just the right thing because they have licensed everything possible.
You're right, and they get it out in a month.
Yes.
No, you're right. It's impressive.
Because now you have cute figurines for hundreds of franchises not typically merchandised in figurine form or at all.
Yeah.
Like, where? What other The Vavitch merch can you get?
Other than other fan-made? None.
Exactly. Even if your favorite obscure property does offer collectible toys or figures, they're usually at least 5 times the cost of a Pop.
Yeah.
Funko, for when you can't afford Hot Toys. And, because the simplicity of the Pop template can represent literally any character, they represent an astonishing number of otherwise unrepresented franchises.
Yeah.
They've become the postcards of toys.
That's such a scary thought.
Even if you don't collect postcards, you can buy a postcard depicting the thing you actually collect. And even if you're not a fan of Funko Pop, or not even a fan of toys, you may buy a Funko Pop depicting the thing you are a fan of.
Yeah.
Such as Black Phillip from The Vavitch.
Yeah.
Because he's just so cute!
It's really cute.
And reason number four to collect Funko Pop, the secondhand market.
That is going to take a lot of stomaching.
Not everyone is buying Funko Pop for fun. Some are buying Funko Pop as a serious investment.
Ah, we're here at Beanie Babies, I see.
Moneywise.com lists Funko Pop as one of their recommended items to save for future reselling profit.
Hey, buddy, no.
Amongst cereal boxes, old video game consoles, and sneakers.
Maybe the video game consoles, but that's because it's like a tested thing. And even then, vintage video game consoles were limited by production rate. In a way that, like, current consoles are not.
According to MoneyWise.com, if you've never heard of Funko Pop, just dive into the nearest group of kids and ask for an explainer.
Hey, bad advice. In just about every way I can imagine.
And as an example of the fiscal responsibility of Funko Pop collecting, they say, a Chewbacca figure released at Comic-Con in San Diego in 2011 recently fetched $2,700 on eBay.
Yeah, because it was a con-exclusive dipshit.
Based on the usual retail price of about $20, that's a 13,400% profit.
Yeah, except that it's not, because you're not, like, fuck this guy.
I like how they even got the initial buy-in price wrong.
Yeah, like, I wish there was anything you could buy at Comic-Con for $20. And, oh, I'm sorry, do you not value the 4 hours you spent waiting in line? Most Comic-Con exclusives start at 100 if you're there. And that's cheap.
So for the real expertise, we go to Pop Collectors Alliance.
That's what they call themselves, huh?
Uh-huh. They have some advice, because they've been tracking pop secondhand price trends.
Alright, well, at least they've been doing something.
Over the past 4 to 5 years, values trend positively from March through June, in August, September, and sometimes December. Values trend negatively from January to mid-March, in October, and in November. And values trend negatively around major conventions with exclusives such as Emerald City Comic Con, San Diego Comic Con, and New York Comic Con.
I can't help but notice that the word exclusive came up twice.
I also have no idea what I'm supposed to do with this information, but now we have it.
Yeah, I guess I do.
They are very concerned with the devaluation of pop.
And they should be.
They really want to make sure you are not underselling your secondhand pops.
I guarantee you're probably not.
Quote, stick to your convictions and know that price matters because it's what drives value.
Yeah, that's true.
Here's a quick selection of the most expensive pops on the secondhand market.
Oh, I'm gonna vom.
Now, these are not in any particular order, or are these even the most very expensive ones, because that changes hour by hour. But the ones that interested me personally when I checked include the gold variant of Ken Griffey Jr. You may recognize him from Major League Baseball. The contract that Funko initially turned down.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he didn't get a DOI, so.
So this was released in 2018. How much do you think it goes for?
Gold variant. Suggests some exclusivity. $500.
$4,740.
Well, fuck me.
Next, we have the Silver Superman, released in 2013. Only 144 were produced, and they were made specifically to be given out as awards to Hot Topic employees for exemplary performance.
All right, that's going to be like $6,000-$7,000.
$850.
That doesn't make sense.
You're right. Now we come to Ned Stark, the singular Game of Thrones example.
Yeah, I'm not going to... I was going to make a joke, but it's spoilers, and I don't want to ruin anything for anyone.
Oh, we're going to get into spoilers.
Oh, well, spoilers for this.
There was a Ned Stark pop released in the previous year of 2012.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the second Ned Stark figure they've made.
Okay.
But 2013 Ned Stark is a Comic-Con exclusive to San Diego. There were only 1,008 made.
That's a strange number.
And it comes with a removable head and a bloodstained body.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Oh, I thought you couldn't put blood on Funko
really
Pops.
Funny. Come
I thought
on.
You couldn't put blood on them.
Yeah, it does, like, directly contradict the Gears of War example.
You guys put the animators through like, all of that, and then you're like, blood on the Funko Pop. It'd be funny. I mean, it is.
It is, yeah. But. It's extremely funny. So the 2012 Ned Stark is worth $9. So that's a $1 loss from the initial $10 buy-in.
Oh, here's the product to watch to save.
The 2013 Ned Stark is worth $1,040.
Yeah, because con exclusive. I'm going to ride this line.
Because it's really funny.
And because it's really funny.
And now we come to Loki.
Yeah, I bet we do.
Now, Funko released its first Loki pop in 2011 to coincide with the first Thor movie.
Mm-hmm.
But much like the character, the Avengers Loki pop released the next year proved orders of magnitude more popular than the Thor Loki pop. I don't know if you remember Comic-Con 2012?
Yeah, I do.
But that's when Tom Hiddleston came out in front of Hall H in full Loki costume and screamed for the crowd to kneel and they fucking did it.
Yeah, that was...
Loki at his peak. It was insane and genuinely uncomfortable.
It was really uncomfortable given the, like how that scene played out in the movie.
Uh-huh. So, 2011 Thor Loki is worth...
So, that's the... That's Avengers Loki, right?
Thor Loki.
Thor Loki... Thor Loki's worth 300.
160.
Damn it.
2012 Avengers Loki.
$8.
$1,750.
Is that just, like, off-the-shelf, not exclusives?
You know, I don't know.
That's a surprising number for a non-exclusive, but
well,
hey.
It's also Avengers Loki, who is for some reason more popular than Thor Loki, despite Thor Loki being a better character.
Yeah.
But this podcast tragically isn't about that.
Sadly. Tune into our new podcast, Low Key, that's LOW-KEY, for all of our thoughts on Loki, the character. It's one episode and we just scream. Just scream.
I was gonna say, I'm so fucking burnt out on Marvel, dude.
Screaming. Yeah, and then we like beg you to stop going to Marvel movies because we're tired.
We're so tired. Now, if any of this sounds familiar, it's probably because of Beanie Babies.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
So you've already noted some similarities to the Beanie Baby phenomenon.
Yeah.
Such as collectibles as investments.
Always a bad idea.
A low initial buy-in.
makes it worse.
Wild inflation on the secondhand market.
Even worse.
They're both toys. They're both cute. And they both shelve things to make them rare. Beanie Babies called it retirement. Funko calls it vaulting.
Right, yeah. But the problem with that is that they keep taking things out of the vault.
Funko?
Yeah. They have like a line of like Funko Vault where they like reprint. Because of course they're going to do that.
Now, there are some notable differences between the Beanie Babies model and the Funko model.
Well, one of them is that one is like a real viable business plan.
Funko is marketed as an adult collectible rather than a child's toy. They have embraced the secondhand market rather than reviling it like Ty did, to the point that they bought out Pop Price Guide, which was a fan-made site and tool to predict the price of Funko Pops based on most recent eBay selling prices. So Funko bought that. It's just on their site now.
So they're centralizing the source of information, which is important.
Yes. And they are responding to demand for merchandise for unmerchandised properties instead of creating original properties and manufacturing demand through artificial scarcity.
Well, I don't think a cat is an original property in Beanie Baby's defense, but yeah.
They did design the cat toy.
Yeah, I know.
Ty put so many fucking hours lovingly brushing that toy cat for you to come at him and say, not an original character.
It's not like a, like, cat isn't an original character. Like, I'm sorry you didn't invent
it. It had a little poem and a name. And it had a slightly different fur design from all the other cats.
Note the difference in how you feel about Beanie Babies versus Funko Pops.
They're both cute.
All right, well, whatever. Fuck me, I guess.
People collected Beanie Babies because people liked Beanie Babies or predicted that other people would like Beanie Babies for being Beanie Babies. Whereas people collect Funko Pop because they like literally anything else.
Yeah. Imagine that being your business model.
And it's working because my official conclusion is that as long as there exists something for people to be a fan of, people will keep buying Funko Pop. As demonstrated live in studio by you turning your mind around on Funko Pop specifically for Black Phillip from the Vavitch.
It didn't turn my mind around because I don't own it. And I Yet. Won't own it.
Or will you?
I will not.
Or will you? You still haven't found the one Funko Pop in my room.
No, I know. I'm pretty sure I gave it to you. Where is it?
The CEO describes Funko as recession-proof.
Stupid. Stupid.
I think he might be right.
Oh, the business plan or the concept of it? Like the secondhand market, that's stupid. The business plan, absolutely.
Which begs the question, should you collect Funko Pop?
No. You should collect the thing you care about, and maybe that'll include a Funko Pop.
As an investment, no. Unless you're buying actual stock in the company, which is a thing you can do because it's a publicly traded company, which still carries the same risks as investing in any other stock.
Although I have to admit, that's a tight model.
Right? However, physical Pop figurines are not stock in the company. They are collectible toys.
Imagine showing up to the meeting because you have 1,000 Pops.
1,000 does not even begin to cover it.
Well, yeah. 8,000 Pops.
Yeah.
Right. I'm picturing myself in an isolation tank filled with nothing but Funko Pops.
That sounds horrifying.
And they're just clanking against the vat gently. And I'm going under. Oh my god, I'm going under the water. They're weighing me down. Stop being calming.
Oh, I thought it was just dry Pops.
No, it's in the water. Like, an iso tank. It's like water. And they're just gently. But then I'm, oh my god, they're overwhelming me. I'm like inhaling them.
You're going under?
God, I'm trying to bang on the tank.
You're drowning in you?
But like I'm getting stuck on Funko Pops.
You're falling forever?
And they hear me, but they just think it's the Funko Pops.
And you've got to break through?
And I'm dead.
Because you're going under.
I just died in the fantasy.
Should you collect Funko Pop for your own personal amusement?
Sure, yeah. I don't see why not. You should be allowed to do anything for your own personal amusement.
So, my actual written down note, which I just showed D, is the word sure. Because we've been friends for a while.
Yeah. Well, because you're not going to get burnt on something you just like.
Exactly. Buy them because you, as an individual, enjoy them or the properties they represent.
Yeah, I mean, I'm coming down really hard. I actually do have a Funko Pop.
Oh!
It was handcrafted from my friend. It's a beautiful piece of artwork that she made for me, and I value it very highly.
It's of Joseph Oda.
From The Evil Within, yes. See that pass the sandbox test. They'd be like, who's this librarian covered in blood?
Do not buy hundreds or thousands of Chase or Vaulted or Con-exclusive Pops in the hopes that flipping them will pay for Harvard tuition or a new yacht. You will be disappointed. Buy the pop you like for you.
Hey, maybe by kismet, someday it'll be worth something, but, like, don't bank on it, literally.
Invest in Black Phillip from Vivitch.
Yeah, I'll buy one of you.
Final thoughts?
My final thoughts, actually, I'm gonna take a minute, if I can. Just a sec. Quick sec. Get your fan stuff on Etsy. Overall, it's just a more fun experience. If I have something that I'm, like, feeling, like, an intense amount of, like, fan love for, I go to Etsy first to see what other artists are making. And I don't know why, but that's just such a more, like, edifying experience. Like, I do that before I look to official merch because, like, A, it can just be more, so much more fun. B, the money's going into the pocket of someone who's just making stuff out of passion. Just try that. Just try it. And then go get the Funko Pop.
Sources include FastCompany.com. Move over Lego, the next big collectible toy powerhouse is here. By Mark Wilson, who has a shaky grasp on the word clavicle.
Or toy.
MoneyWise.com. These items from today will be worth a fortune in the future.
Love that clown. Love that clown. In it? MoneyWise?
RollingStone.com. Pop Culture. The Incredible Rise of Funko Pop. By Rayan Ali. DailyDot.com. 7 Things You Didn't Know About Funko Pops. By Dan Marcus. With the vaguely threatening subheader, you probably have one on your desk right now.
Look around!
MentalFloss.com. 11 Collectible Facts About Funko. By Jake Rawson.
The pop is coming from inside the house.
GeekWire.com, How Funko Pops Out of Pop, by Daniel Rasmus.
What a cool name.
I know, right? Entrepreneur.com, the CEO of this toy company that made $400 million so far this year wants you to do something you love.
Thanks.
PopCollectorsAlliance.com, what is happening with the value of Funko Pop? And the site also includes a database of fake pop.
Fakes?
Oh, that's a whole thing we didn't have time for. Reddit.com/r/FunkoPop has they have a very useful wiki and a very useful FAQ.
Okay.
They were extremely helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Vox.com, How Aggressively Cute Toys for Adults Became a $686 million Business, by Amelia Tate.
It's not a toy.
TheGamer.com, The 30 Rarest Funko Pop Figures and How Much They're Worth, by Kristen Catalano. Nasdaq.com, Will Funko's New Games Help or Hurt Its Profits? And of course, blessed Wikipedia.
Blessed be, I donated $5 this week.
Donate, won't you? Thank you. If you have an idea for an exclusive Funko Pop, you can email it to us at antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com.
And then we'll take credit for it and email it to the Funko Company.
Or you can check out our Facebook at facebook.com/antiquesfreaks and join our Facebook group, Antiques Freaks Friends.
Yes. If you like what has graced your ears today and you want other people to be like, cool, what? Consider scrolling down to your app, whatever app. I know you're on an app. Don't lie to me. And giving us a rating of some sort. I prefer 5-star because it gives me an inflated sense of self. And I get to walk around. Look, I'm the guy who's half a podcast that has at least 4 stars as an aggregate. And 5-star, like, I look and I see a 5-star. And this is going on too long, but, like, rate us. It helps get the word out. And it makes us feel nice inside, unless it's a bad rating. In which case, fuck you. Ken is looking at me like he wants me to redact that statement. So I'll just re-record it. So yeah, if you just leave us a rating, it helps us get the word out. And it's great. Good or bad, all the ratings help, and we love it.
If you would like to listen to deleted scenes, such as the one we just recorded, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/antiquesfreaks. And while you are there, you can join the Random Vintage Postcard of the Month Club, where we send you a random vintage postcard every month.
And when you're done looking for fan stuff, you can check out our Etsy, where we have occasionally vintage goods, stickers, and t-shirts.
Definitely vintage goods, always vintage goods.
Well, there's, yeah, I mean,
but they do change. Sold out
yet, yeah.
They do change from time to time, so keep checking back. Special shout out to our current patrons for paying our hosting fees and getting us ever closer to our goal of releasing bonus episodes.
Thank you.
And thank you in particular for listening.
Especially you.
Goodbye.
Bye.